starting the new year. It's good to sing to God. Amen. You know, I can't stand up here and say that we aren't a bit injured as a family right now. And, I confess, I just long to come here and just sing. So thank you for joining with me, knitting our hearts together. Those knitted stones fitted together, right? Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So thank you. We all need this, right? And God has, it's a new year, and God has all kinds of amazing things for each one of us. Just pay attention. See what God has for you. Amen? Amen. Well, we're in James 5, and let's just begin. I'm going to read James 5, ready for verse 13 through 16. So let's just begin by just reading it today. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Amen. Amen. So I titled this today, The Path of Prayer. Because if we kind of looked, what was kind of some themes of those four verses? Well, prayer was there a lot. There was praise. There was forgiveness. There were kind of some themes throughout that. So with that, let's just take a look at that for a minute. The theme of this scripture is speaking to God. And if we look at the first verse, let's pull up verse 13. Let's start there. It says, if any among you is suffering, let him pray. If you're cheerful, let him sing praise. This is about the two ends of the spectrum of life, really. He kind of comes to this. If you're suffering hardship, pray. Then you got the other end of the spectrum. If you're cheerful, sing praise. But you know what? As we look at this, they both work in both places. Amen? If you're suffering, praise him. If you're cheerful, pray to him. Right? And this is kind of this idea of our first point that I want to talk about. The prayer and the paths of prayer, one of the first paths that we take with prayer is to what I call, the first title is Path to Communion. And what is communion? You think about that. Well, first off, next week we're going to have communion. Well, what is that? That's the Lord's Supper. But it's when we want to have intimate fellowship, right? To be in communion, if I look it up, it means fellowship, being in common, and even this idea of sharing intimate thoughts together. That's what being in communion is. It's being in fellowship. And prayer, as we're instructed, is that give you that path to communion. And as we pray, I think a quick little aside about prayer, because we often say prayer is powerful. And that's okay to say, but it is the God to whom we pray that is powerful, right? Religions throughout the world pray. They pray to idols. They're very fervent in their prayers. The Muslim faith has this practice of, you know, kneeling down and being supplicating. And they do there's a lot of people praying. But it's to whom we pray, to whom we have our allegiance and our communion, is what that power of prayer brings us. So when you are suffering hardship, you're praying to the God of this universe, who, as we just sang songs, his grace is sufficient. He loves you. The power of his love. Hold me close, Lord, right? You're suffering, even hardships. Because one of the things, with even in this whole James chapter 5, if you take the theme of James chapter 5, he's actually talking to a people who've been getting beat up, right? These people are getting beat up. They were suffering for their faith and for their spirituality. And that's why he says, well, the rich people are going to come to an end. You don't focus on the rich. Be patient. The Lord is coming, right? Let your yes be yes. And then he says, okay, if you're cheerful, sing to him. Praise him. If you're suffering, pray to him. And I'm telling you that it's okay to flip them, because you should. When you're suffering, sing to him. I'm a music guy. When I'm in a point of suffering, what I want to do, I want to go sit at the piano and just start singing to God, just me and God. I'll sit there, under the shadow of your wings, I will find my hiding place, right? I'll just sing to him. And that song is my prayer. And that is my communion with God. And he asks you, you should be in communion. If we pull up 1 Thessalonians 5, I want to take scripture to agree with scripture, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, these three verses are very, very simple to remember. If you need to have a memory verse, choose these. They're really easy. Two words, three words, and a bunch, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, rejoice always. What does always mean? Always. Pray without ceasing. What does not ceasing mean? You don't stop, right? Do you stop when you're sad? Or do you stop when you're happy? Trust me, the whole prayer, when you're happy, sing praises. When you're cheerful and joyful and you're saying, having one of those days, one of those easy days, you need to be praying to God. You need to be thanking him. Father, look what this wonderful thing you did. And you know what? When you have that hard day, you need to be praying to God saying what? Thank you, God, for this wonderful hardship you gave me. Right? Because the next one says, give thanks in the easy circumstances. Oh, did I misread that? Sorry. Give thanks when it's convenient. No, give thanks when, your mother reminds you to say your please and thank yous. No, be thankful in everything. All things work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purposes. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, this path of prayer, it is to this communion. I will be in communion with God. I was first taught this as a young person. Again, I'm a musical guy. Back when I was young, the movie / musical Fiddler on the Roof. You know that one? If I were a rich man, that one, right? Tradition. Tevye is the lead character. He's the father of that. And Tevye taught me how to walk with God. What? Because Tevye, if you've seen this thing, he's out there shoveling hay. God, look at me. This is the day I'm, he's shoving hay. He's walking down the road. His horse threw a shoe or went lame or something. So he's walking his horse back, And he just, as he goes through his day, Lord, the horse threw a shoe, And then, the wife says, come on in, we have to start Sabbath. And then he goes from the informal communion with his God to the time that you probably need to have that formality with my God. Oh, wait a minute. Let's start the Sabbath. My God's an awesome God. Let me with reverence communicate and have communion with my awesome creator of the universe. Right? So we never ceased to be in communion with God. It's what we should do, and this is what we're called. We're called this. James 5 says, from here to here, pray and sing to him, and everything in between. We're reminded from Paul, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, right? Your God loves you, and he wants to be in communion with you. And when you're in communion with your God, I use the all things work together for the good, because every day, and every event is good. So maybe we should stop with our habit of, how was your day? Oh, I had a bad day. No, you didn't have a bad day. You might have had a hard day. You might have had a challenging day. But it's not bad. You know, try to change your language. How'd your day go? Well, I had a hard day. I had an easy day. But it was a good. And that's when you have the communion with your God and you can sit there with that and say, yeah, it was hard. It was heavy. It was, you know, I was burdened today. But it was a good day because my God loves me. It was a good day because, remember just a few verses earlier in James, he said, be patient. The Lord's coming, right? It will end. Amen? Amen. All right, have I hit all my notes? Yes, harum scarum. I think I hit all those. All right, so I do want to do Psalm 18:6, though, because kind of back to this. It's just a great psalm, so you can put it up, guys. Psalm 18:6. Let's all read this one together. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried out for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5, right? So have communion with your God, praying with your God, singing to your God, just reveling in this fact that you have fellowship with the creator of the world, the one that you should fear, because he did say, fear the one who can take your life. But he loves you. All right. So prayer is a path to communion, and we should have that communion moment by moment, day by day, and reveling in our God. Amen? Even on our hard days. Amen? I'm looking at Linda. I love you. He loves you. Amen. Because the next point we have, prayer is a path to health. And this is where we have a certain understanding of the verse, which, let's go to the, I think it's verse 14. Guys, pull that up. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil and in the name of the Lord. So first off, one of the things we get from this scripture is we shouldn't be suffering in private. You have a fellowship. You have brothers and sisters in Christ. You have those that love you. If you're sick, and we'll get to that word in a minute, you don't have to suffer by yourself. Amen? So he doesn't intend for that. He wants us to pray for, not just pray in private. We should be doing that. But we should be calling upon one another. Pray for me. We did that just this morning, right? But I want to talk about that word sick. Go look at the Greek. Because remember, if we were in a French-speaking company, they'd have a French word there. If we were in a German-speaking company, they'd have a German word there. We're in an English-speaking company, put an English word there. But everybody should go back to what was the original language. In the Greek, that word for sick, and I'll do my best to pronounce it, asthenēo. Right? Guess what it means? To be sick. Okay, right? It's used in the scripture to be sick. I mean, it's used when Lazarus was sick, right? But Lord, when did we see you naked and clothed? When did we see you sick and come visit you? That sick, that's the word, sick. It means sick. And so we can apply that here. But oh, there's so much more. The context of this scripture, what's the end of it say? Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the very next verse is, and if he will raise him up, and if he has sins, the sin will be forgiven. Confess your sins one to another. You know what that word asthenēo in many other places, when that word is used in our New Testament, what it means? It means weak. It means to be weak, to be infirm, to be deficient in strength, to be weak in your faith, to doubt, to hesitate, to be unsettled, to be timid. So that word asthenēo, this is any, you could read it and say, if anyone among you is weak right now, call for the elders and have some people pray over you. And that sickness and that weakness, remember, we've heard over and over again, we as created are this triune part, right? We have this, We have this flesh body. You have your soul, which is your mind, your will, what you are. And you have the eternal creation of when I love Genesis 2:7. Out of the dust of the ground, God created man, and into his nostrils, he breathed his breath of life. In the image and likeness that you are created, not only do we physically have resemblance to what God is, you are eternal. Because God's spirit in you is eternal. And your existence will be with him or apart from him. I choose with him. Amen. So we are that three part. So when you are sick, you could be sick physically, but you could be sick in your soul. You could be sick in your soul. And you could be sick in your spirit. And actually, and I think I can say this pretty well because John MacArthur agrees with me, that mostly what they're talking, this scripture is mostly about your spiritual health. These people in James chapter 5 were getting beat up. He wrote it to people that were being persecuted and struggling and having a hard time. And he's like, yeah. You know, be patient, guys. The Lord's coming. And he said, if you're sick, if you're weak in your spirit, if you're weak in your soul, if your mental health is under, I mean, we all nowadays, you know, years and years ago, mental health wasn't even talked about. But no, your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, it can be weak and sick. And then we understand that. So yes, sick can mean the physical thing. But for mostly, if we were to read this and think, now with that in mind, let's go back and reread 14 and 15 and 16. Pull that up in, guys. If anyone among you is weak, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is weak. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. When is your soul and your spirit weak? If there's an unconfessed sin in your life, there's something beating you up from sin, you're weak, your faith is challenged, whatever the case may be, he will raise you up, and your sins will be forgiven. You confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, and you'll be healed from that weakness, that sickness that is plaguing you. Folks, we are in process. Remember, your salvation isn't a moment in time. Your salvation is not a moment in time. Your redemption is, but your salvation, you are being saved right now. Your salvation is in process, right? There is redemption. Right now, we are still, our salvation process is our sanctification. He wants to make you more and more like him. He wants the spirit that indwells you to be manifested so that your stuff pushes aside and goes away and dies, and the spirit within you is what is manifested in that fruit that you see. So your salvation, you will be saved. It's kind of like, yeah, your salvation. You will be healed, and your salvation will continue on its path. So when we read this, confess your sins with one another. We'll get back to that in a second. Go back. You know, if you're sick, call for the elders. So I would say, yes, we do practice it. If someone is sick and calls for the elders, we as elders, we will pray over you. Yes, we would love to do that. But I would remind us, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all that other stuff. You know, remember Jesus said, your father knows you have need of clothing and food. Your father knows that your body hurts. Yes, he knows that. But what does he mostly want from you? Your eternal state. He wants, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness in you, your communion with God to be so beautiful. So if I'm weak, come, let us pray over you. And that weakness could be, Father, we will ask you, do you have sins? You know, are there sins to confess? Because we do know that when there's sin beating us up, right? If the Father loves you, he's going to address it, right? We always ask, you know, how much sin is there that, you know, if I practice sin, I may not be saved. And so it's not so much the sin. How much is God dealing with you? Can you sin without getting whipped, right? If you sin, what is your response to your sin? Does it crush your heart? Because we're fallible people. And we're going to have stumbles. We're going to fall. That thing's going to slip out of our mouth. We're going to do something. We're going to forget. We're a sin of omission, sin of commission. We're going to do it, right? We know. But what's your response to that sin? That tells me you're a child of God when it breaks your heart. And when the Lord says, boy, with my sons, I always said, boy, boy, come here. You know, that means you're in trouble. So when the Father says to me, boy, I pay attention. And no chastisement for the moment is pleasurable, but the end thereof brings about the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's what he wants. So your path to hell through prayer, the thing he desires the most is that your spirit, then your soul, and okay, your body, it'll come along, right? It's third, folks. I'm sorry. That fleshly thing that hurts, we know, I mean, I'm still got things in my, you know, when something hurts, it hurts. You can't not pay attention to my thumb hurts, my foot hurts, whatever hurts, hurts. And it's with you and it never leaves you and you got this and it's there all the time and you see it and you can't get past it. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul prayed three different times. God, take this thing away. And he kept answering him, nope, my grace is sufficient for you. Deal with it. It's not an unloving God, right? Don't see that as an unloving God because he knows better. He knows better. So let's go on to the last point I have for us today. Path. Prayer is a path to communion. Prayer is a path to your health, really your spiritual health with him. And finally, prayer is a path to glorifying God. It is God's purpose to heal you, to make you better. Again, not just physically, but your spiritual health and your sanctification. When he says, I will raise you up and you will be saved, right? That is your salvation. Your salvation and your sanctification will be a little closer to what God wants. And each day, and I keep remembering a statement, I guess, was attributed to Michelangelo, like how do you get that beautiful statue out of that hunk of marble? He says, I just chip away the parts that don't look like it. And God's just chipping away at us all. And so so there may be actual physical healing. I can tell you over the years that we have prayed for folks, miracles have occurred. There have been people that come to us and said, we can't have any kids. It's just not working. So out of obedience. And again, this prayer thing, again, it's not my prayer. It's the God I pray to, right? It's the God I pray to. And we prayed, and that family has a house full of kids now, right? And they're like, turn off the faucet, please. So, you know, we've seen it. You all can tell me, right? You can see God pray, and God will do miracles. He will do wonderful things, and he will also give you the grace to just sustain it because it is for his glory and for his purposes that all these things are going to happen. And again, I remind us, be patient, for the Lord is coming. Go back up to verse 7. Be patient. The Lord is coming. You will be physically healed. I think this is kind of like I got the easy answer here. I got it. Easy answer. Everyone's physical ailments will be healed. Easy. You'll be glorified. You'll get a new body. You'll go to heaven and have an eternal new body. Won't have any sickness. There. Easy. But that's the truth. He says, I will heal you physically. It may not be this week. But your God will heal you in everything. Your physical, you will get a new body that will not have those pains. You will have, your soul will be, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I get to just stand in front of my God. And your spirit will have its final glorification. And what I mean by glorification, if you remember some, right, the beginning of salvation is we're freed from the penalty of sin. We're currently being freed from the power of sin over our life. And ultimately, upon glory, we're free from even the presence of there being sin. We'll be in the place where God is. He will glorify himself. It is the path to his glory in all that he's done. So again, that raising up, it may mean physically. It may mean your mental health. It will. He'll raise you up. Definitely mean your spiritual health. He'll raise you up. Because his number one priority is his kingdom. And what you looking like him in his kingdom. And we'll bring the body along later. All right? Because in John chapter 9, there's the miracles of God, and sometimes they get three or four verses, you know. Jesus, you know, healed this person, and there's four or five verses. Jesus. There's an entire chapter in John chapter 9 on the young man who was blind from birth. And if you remember, they asked Jesus when they first saw this man, and he's probably older teenager. He was a young man, but he was considered an adult because remember his parents said he's an adult asking. So he had been blind his life. He was, let's say he was in his 20s, hypothetically, right? And they walked up and Jesus saw him and they asked Jesus, okay, Jesus, whose sin made him blind? Right? Was it his parents' sin that he was born blind or was it his own sin? What did Jesus say? Neither. He said, I think I have that one. If we put up John 6 or John 9:3, this was Jesus' response. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. He healed the young man on the spot. A young man who had never seen, his eyes had never worked. He had spent his life with his eyes not working. Jesus healed him. And then the rest of the chapter is all about, what? How could this happen? And it was for God's glory, right? And they brought the young man before him, and he said, well, all I know is I was blind, and now I can see, right? So you have to deal with that, right? And so God will use you however he wants to use you to glorify his own name. Are you okay to be born blind and go through the first 20-some-odd years of your life as a blind person so that the Lord could use him to glorify his own name? Are you okay to suffer through something so that the Lord can use you to glorify his name? He may give you the great, just like Paul. Paul, no, I am not taking it away. I will glorify myself, and my grace is sufficient for you. You deal with it. Walk with it. I'm your God. Are you okay with that? Because that's where we are, folks. So, it is God's plan to glorify himself. Now, we just got done singing, my grace is sufficient for you, the power of his love, hold me close, Lord. Let me know you're with me, right? Those are true, and God loves you. And God wants your comfort. He wants you to be cheerful. He wants you to have easy days. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He desires that for you. But the first thing he desires is his kingdom and his righteousness. And that's what we should desire as well. In all that we do, Father, use me however you want to use me. If I live to be, whatever, an old dude, older dude, I guess I'm pretty gray and bald already. You know, if I have many, many more years in front of me, use me as you use me, Father. If I don't get home today, I hope my life glorified him. Amen? If anyone among you is weak, he will raise you up. And the prayer of faith, again, it's not the prayer, right? It's the God we pray to. He's in charge of everything, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he seeks communion with you. He seeks fellowship with you. Remember this, there's my sin will break it, but he will take care of it. You should enjoy, maybe? Thank you, Father, for the whipping. I don't know, is that, can you say that? But you should be thankful and joyful that he loves you enough to give you that whipping. Amen? Amen. But it's easier just to love God and walk with him. Each day, lift up God, pray for him, say, Father, you are my God. What does today have for me? I will sing to you and I will pray to you every moment of the day and thank you for what you have for me today. Amen. If you don't know God, we ask you, listen, that communion and fellowship we talked about, you must be in Christ. Because these promises are not, they're for those, as we've always said around here, they'll yet to believe, those who have yet to realize God's salvation for themselves, for them. You need to be in Christ. So we'll be up front. I'd love to talk about that. If you need prayer, if you are weak, let us pray for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that you are faithful and true, our God. We come before you and say, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We bless your name. Amen.